I am Bill Bullard, and I'm the CEO of RCAF USA.
RCAF is part of a coalition that is urging the White House to reject the animal ID rule that USDA has put up. Bill, you've come together with some other groups. What is your main concern? What are your main concerns about this rule?
The main concern is that USDA grossly underestimated the cost that this animal identification system will have on independent U.S. cattle producers. USDA claims the cost will be low. We've submitted studies that show the cost is likely to be in the hundreds of millions of dollars, and it is far too expensive for the USDA to be mandating this expensive program on the U.S. cattle industry.
Well, you know, in some ways, Bill, that sounds so similar to the NAIS proposal that many people were able to tamp down, and that, you know, that was a big deal. And now it sounds almost like, would you say you're back to square one, or do you think that there's any hope for getting what you guys want?
This proposed rule brings us to the doorway of the former NAIS, the National Animal Identification System. USDA was unable to proceed with the full-blown NAIS because of the tremendous opposition they received in the countryside. So they tried to scale it back, and they now are going forward with the initial steps of a full-blown mandatory government program that it is imposing the obligation on every independent producer to identify every head of animal that they have on their farms or ranches. This is an onerous rulemaking. It is unnecessary. And as we indicated in our letters and in our meeting with the White House Office of Management and Budget, this rule is going to be extremely expensive and untenable in our industry.
Bill, give us an example of the cost and what this would mean to the family farmer.
Well, USDA is estimating that the highest cost is going to be about $4.68 per head for those people who do not already tag animals. However, we have cited a North Dakota State University study that involved over 14,000 head of cattle, and their estimate of cost ranges from $17 to $27 per head. One of the reasons for the significant increase is the North Dakota State University study included the cost to the producer for the shrinkage of the animal that occurs when you put them under stress to place an ear tag in their ear. And so USDA has understated the cost by many times over. And that cost, that $17 to $27 per head, could mean a profit or a significant loss for producers in this volatile cattle market.
All right. And tell us how you see this affecting feeder cattle and the costs associated with that.
The proposed rule includes the requirement of identifying all feeder cattle that are engaged in interstate commerce, all cattle that cross state lines, as a second phase of this proposed rule. The first phase involves adult animals over 18 months of age. The second phase involves feeder cattle. And we believe that if you impose the requirement on feeder cattle, you are going to slow up commerce here in the United States, and you are then going to burden producers and livestock auction yards and veterinarians with costs that need not be incurred in order to safely transport animals. This is an unnecessary proposal.
All right. Your letter mentions that you refer to them as the meatpacking lobby. What is their role?
Well, the meatpacking lobby wants every producer to identify every animal, so the meatpackers could then tell export customers that all of the beef that they are processing is beef that can be traced back to the farm of origin. In other words, the meatpackers are using USDA in order to provide information to them free of charge. They want a gift. Right now, the meatpackers will pay a premium for cattle that can be verified as to the farm of origin for export purposes and the producer's benefit. But Now, the meatpacking lobby wants USDA to impose the requirement on every producer, regardless of whether their animal is included in the export of beef. And therefore, the packers are in the driving seat on this issue. It's very frustrating. In addition to the meatpacking lobby, you have the American Meat Institute, the National Meat Association, and the National Cattlemen's Beef Association, all there trying to impose a government mandate on U.S. cattle producers.
What do you want the OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, to do?
Ultimately, we want the Office of Management and Budget to reject the rule to prevent it from becoming finalized. But what we have asked for in the letter is, at the very least, the White House must send the rule back to USDA and require USDA to conduct a thorough and scientific risk-cost analysis or cost-benefit analysis to determine the actual cost of this rule. USDA is sent this to the White House stating it's not an economically significant rule because it will cost less than $100 million. We believe the rule is going to cost between $300 million and $900 million conservatively, and this indeed is an economically significant rule that will have a tremendous financial impact, particularly on independent cattle producers in the U.S.
All right. Now, tell us the status of this rule right now.
Well, the USDA proposed the rule and opened the proposal up for public comments. The public comments ended in December. USDA then internally reviewed the public comments and have formulated what they believe to be a final rule. After it achieved agency clearance, it was sent to the White House Office of Management and Budget for a final review. The Office of Management and Budget reviews rules to determine, number one, are they necessary? Number two, are they going to impose an undue burden on an industry? So we are at the stage of the Office of Management and Budget reviewing the final version of USDA's rule, and we want it to stop right there.
Did you get any kind of feedback from OMB?
Well, we met with OMB about 3 weeks ago, and during that meeting, they asked us, what were the assumptions that USDA used that you believe were wrong in ascertaining the cost of this program? And that's what precipitated this follow-up letter, is we were responding to some specific questions from the Office of Management and Budget.
All right. When do you expect to hear anything?
Whenever. There is no timeline associated with this. We hope that the Office of Management and Budget will carefully review the letter, carefully review the studies that we have included, and make the decision that this rule should not go forward. And so we'll just hope that we hear something as soon as possible, but we have no idea of knowing when they will make their decision.
Did you point out, or do you think that in light of the devastation being caused by the drought in many parts of the country, that they might take that into consideration when it comes to costs for producers?
You would think so, but those in the White House Office of Management and Budget, as are those in USDA, are far removed from rural America. I do not think that they can even comprehend the challenges that farmers and ranchers face due to the vagaries of weather and other challenges, one of which, a good example, is the loss of ear tags. USDA is not fully considering how many retaggings will need to be done. So we submitted studies, for example, from Louisiana State University, that showed that tag loss can range upwards of 48%. And so we are trying to impress upon the Office of Management and Budget that all of the factors facing cattle producers affect their profit margin. And when the government imposes an unnecessary cost upon them, they are simply going to accelerate the ongoing exodus of independent cattle producers from the U.S. cattle industry.
When I covered some of the NAIS hearings, there were objections to tagging these cattle at all, health concerns and so forth. Is this a different strategy that you guys are using from a cost perspective rather than, you know, a privacy, a health or a privacy concern like that was expressed.
That's right. And one of the big issues was the liability question. Because USDA was going to identify the farm of origin, that would then be perhaps the starting place and end place for any disease investigation. And a disease that may happen 2 years after an animal leaves a farm or ranch may be presumed to have been infected back on the farm of origin. There is no discussion within the proposed rule to limit the liability on producers under this mandated program. So that's huge, but you're correct. We have changed our strategy. Even though we have continued to bring those other same arguments up during the comment period to USDA, we know that the focus of the White House Office of Management and Budget is more economic than any other factor. So we have focused on what we believe is their main responsibility, and that is to ensure that federal agencies are not promulgating regulations that are going to cause an undue economic burden on producers. So that's why we are focused intensely on the cost of this program right now at this stage.
Is there any government animal ID system that you would sign onto? And if so, what would it be?
Certainly. We fully support the existing disease programs, the brucellosis program, the tuberculosis program. These programs have been highly successful in eradicating and controlling diseases in the United States. These programs are disease specific. When you have a disease problem, you engage and implement this program to eradicate the disease. That is a time-proven, successful means of controlling diseases in the United States, and we would support a continuation of those programs. But that's not what this rule is proposing. It is, without regard to any particular disease, this program is trying to mandate a production practice on cattle producers, and the only reason for doing that is to give the meat packers an additional means of making more money in the export market because they will no longer have to pay for source-identified animals.
Okay. So to summarize, you continue to support the existing voluntary system and you continue to oppose any mandatory system.
We continue to oppose any national animal identification system. We continue to support the disease-specific programs that are genuinely implemented in order to eradicate and control known diseases. And under those specific disease programs, they are and have been mandatory in states where we have disease problems. So we are not specifically opposed to a mandatory system. We are opposed to a mandatory system that has no regard for whether or not there is even a disease problem in the United States cattle industry.
Okay, but they might say, well, prevention is better than waiting till after the fact.
Well, and that's where good management comes in, and that's where it is critically important that the USDA prevent the introduction of these diseases at our borders. USDA does not want to do that. USDA wants to trade with countries that are of a high risk for animal diseases, and they want the U.S. cattle producers to shoulder the cost of managing foreign animal diseases within the borders of the United States. A good example, many years ago, 2006, the Office of Inspector General reported that 75% of the tuberculosis cases detected in U.S. slaughter plants originated in Mexico. But USDA has done absolutely nothing to curb the continued reintroduction of tuberculosis into the United States.